when an atrocity is perpetrated, humanitarian efforts need to be the immediate or as close as possible immediate response. Now, some of what we're seeing as more becomes known about the horrific treatment of women following rape, mutilation, burning victims alive by Hamas following their October 7th attack against Israel. Hamas has been called the humanitarians, believe it or not. Another response to this horror by organizations who at least claim to be supportive of women has been silence. Here to discuss this evil, how it should be responded to, is a survivor of sexual assault who turned her trauma into action and impact. She's the founder of Promoting Awareness Victim Empowerment, otherwise known as PAVE. Angela Rose, thanks for being here today, Angela.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you so much for taking this issue on. It's so important.
ShatteringTheSilence.org is Angela's website. Learn more about the work that she does, the awareness she raises, how you could play a part in that work as well. We have that link at our homepage. It was the New York Times who recently, after a two-month investigation involving 150 witnesses, medical personnel, first responders, a whole litany of people who have seen it all, as every fragment of this horror, put together a report that, well, as I said in the intro, so many are claiming because hostages, as they are wont to do, because a hostage is looking to do whatever they need to do to survive, did make positive statements about their captors. And even after the fact, as a means to, one can certainly believe, protect those who are still being held captive, they are calling the bad guys the good guys in all this, the bad guys being Hamas. And maybe most notable here in America is you have so many organizations, from individuals and members of Congress to Planned Parenthood, Women's March, Democratic Women's Caucus, has been total, complete silence of this issue. That is not empowering victims by doing that, is it?
No, and frankly, Chris, it does the opposite. There are millions of survivors of sexual violence in the United States, and to see the silence that is deafening on this issue is so difficult and re-traumatizing for survivors of sexual violence. And I'll tell you just really quickly, you mentioned something important. When we look at the neurobiology of trauma, of what happens in the mind of a survivor of trauma like this, oftentimes you think they're either going to run away, fight or flight, but there's oftentimes they either freeze or fawn. And fawn is the behavior that you were referring to, where you almost think of your captors as a friend or someone that, you know, is not an enemy. It's really important that we understand what happens in the mind of survivors. And this is not planned or calculated. You know, we are just trying to survive when we go through this type of trauma.
Well, there was one of the hostages. She was she's a French Israeli national. I'm trying to find her name here in my notes here. That she said she was being held captive by a family. Mia Shem was her name, and she was being held by a family in Gaza, which adds to the argument too that are there any innocents in Gaza if you have families that are complicit in these acts? And she actually started cooking meals for her captors, thinking, well, let me win them over and get through today. That's how a hostage, much like we talk about here on the show frequently over the years about domestic violence, let me get through today and hopefully tomorrow there'll be a door.
Absolutely right. And I can speak from my own personal experience. You know, I was a kidnapping survivor. And in that moment, you do everything you can to try and make it to see the next day. And I will just say how difficult it's been for the silence on this issue and to read the horrific attacks, the brutality of this weaponized sexual violence. There's very few trigger warnings as well. So when you're reading some of these articles, very few times do they say, you know, here's a content warning. This is going to be very difficult and graphic for, that could be, you know, triggering and activating for survivors. So I will say also journalists need to do a better job making sure that they're setting that safe space for people to read all these horrific accounts.
Again, looking at those organizations I mentioned, and it was actually a publication called the Daily Citizen. They analyzed 10, as I said in the intro again, claiming to be women's and human rights entities. They include UN Women, UN Secretary General, UN Human Rights, UN High Commission for Human Rights, Planned Parenthood, Women's Watch, Democratic Women's Caucus, Emily's List, National Organization of Women, and Planned Parenthood. Well, they're a global nonprofit. That's called International Planned Parenthood Federation. They looked at the social media posts that these organizations made regarding what's been unfolding in Gaza, and four entities, UN Human Rights, the High Commissioner for Human Rights, Women's March, Emily's List, not once did they acknowledge the sexual brutalization of Israeli women. Of the 202 total posts that they examined, 52% condemned or mourn the situation in Gaza. Only 6% specifically condemned Hamas and their sexual atrocities. That's not the way to be working here.
Absolutely not. And for me, when I think about this, Chris, this is not polarizing. This is not political. This is about people and human rights. What these survivors and the ones that didn't survive, the victims that were brutalized during these horrific attacks. I mean, especially I think about these young women at this rave, and I get so choked up when I think about it, because these are young people with their whole life ahead of them. And the way that they were kidnapped and just the atrocities that they dealt with, it's just horrific. It's nothing short of a nightmare. And I'm just very disappointed to not see more organizations standing up to say, what can we do to support these survivors and the families of those that have lost, you know, their daughters, their children, and even some men that have been sexually attacked. This impacts all of us. And as a global community, we should be rallying together to support and condemn this act of weaponized sexual violence.
Angela mentioned that rave that was the ground zero of all this. There were around 1,200 people who were in attendance. 360, by most accounts, of those 1,200 were slaughtered that day. We're talking with Angela Rose, who was the founder of Promoting Awareness Victim Empowerment, PAVE, ShatteringTheSilence.org, their website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And I gave that number because that comes with a question mark because of the difficulty in identifying some of these victims. I mentioned victims being burned alive, rape so violent, women's pelvises are found broken. And I guess the flip side of all this is that they're just the EMTs, all the professionals, the ATF, the IDF, they're all just looking and focusing on rescuing the bodies for peace for the families, at least, if nothing else. That a lot of evidence of rape and torture it's being destroyed just to rescue the body. And that's, again, going to allow the perpetrators, as we see so often at various cases at every level, the perpetrators are allowed or are given a pathway to escape all this.
You're absolutely right, Chris, because what we're seeing so was that all these bodies of these young people were hauled away and buried very quickly. So there is no evidence. And like you made mention, that often happens in the United States. It's very, very rare that perpetrators of sexual violence are really held accountable. More often than not, these, you know, they get a slap on the wrist, they're not held accountable. And that's something that we need to change as a society.
Now, obviously, calling for an end to this is important, because if there isn't a response to this terror, then it just encourages Hamas, Hezbollah, you know, terrorist group du jour, pick whoever you want. Okay, there's a key. I can do this, and there will be very little of any repercussions. So calling for an end is important, but actions are what we need. What are some of the actions that we need to see? Is it simply a rising up of voices that put these people into a spotlight that they don't want to be in?
Well, that certainly needs to be a part of the solution. We also need to be educated on the history of using rape as a tool of war. And PAVE, on our social media at PAVE Info, we have some really important posts about looking at rape as a tool of war and how that needs to, like you said, be held accountable. We need to end this. And, you know, using women, children's, and even men's bodies to weaponize sexual violence in times of war is a human rights violation on every aspect. So we really need to lift up our voices, join together, and make sure that we can find an end to this.
And looking more to a more home base type of situation, as far as the work of PAVE, Promoting Awareness, Victim Empowerment, we've seen an increase of sexual violence, abusive relationships on college campuses, to be sure. Workplace sexual assaults take place. What's some of the work domestically that PAVE does to let women know that it's not there to be taken, and for those who allow it to happen, that they need to be held responsible for the looking away that too many people do with these situations.
Yes, bystander intervention is a really important piece of what PAVE teaches on high schools and college campuses, even in workplace. You know, we really need to let people know if you see something to say something and to stand up. It's interesting when you look at bystander intervention, the more people that witness an act of violence, the less likely it is that anyone is going to intervene because they think someone else is going to do it. You know, all the research shows that everybody thinks, well, somebody else should say, stand up and say something or do something about it. So we really do teach the importance of bystander intervention. We teach consent, healthy relationships, how to support survivors. And, I think also when you look at the workplace and you hear about these sexual harassment trainings, people often roll their eyes and don't take these things seriously, but PAVE has a really robust sexual harassment training to teach how to create a healthy and happy workplace environment. And we actually were very blessed to train the cast and crew of Hamilton on Broadway. We've brought this to, a Warren Buffett's organization, a global insurance company. So we were really working hard to try and spread this message to so many different audiences. And that's our prevention work. And then on the flip side is also helping survivors to thrive after trauma. So we have a lot of programs. We've got a support group in place. We've got a lot of different things that is national, really multinational now, but anyone can participate because so much of what we're doing is virtual and leveraging technology.
For you listening, I want to leave you with these takeaways. If you're one of those people who hears about something or sees something that is going really wrong and really bad, and you're thinking, well, someone else will report this happening, well, that someone else is saying the same thing about you. That's not going to work out too good, is it? And for you as a woman, you don't deserve this. No way, no how, no shape, no form. And you have a voice. It might not be listened to at first. Well, if it isn't, you speak louder, more often, and you will be heard. And through the work of PAVE, promoting awareness, victim empowerment, and for business owners as well, you can find out, maybe I need to look into some of these programs, if not to solve a problem, to prevent a problem, which is always, always, always the better way to go, to prevent as opposed to having to respond. And that way you avoid unnecessary pain, torture, and long-term effects that any kind of sexual assault can result in. Learn more about the work of promoting awareness, victim empowerment at shatteringthesilence.org. She is their founder, a survivor herself who has turned her pain into empowerment for all others. Angela Rose. Angela, thank you for the work that you do, the strength that you give victims, and for being here today.
Oh, thank you, Chris. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.